a wonderful goal for Titus.
Brighton Albion are promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 Show. I'm the host, Anthony Kendrick, and I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And our guest this week is former Football League midfielder Jason Jarrett.
Good evening.
You well, Jason?
I'm really good, thank you. I've had a good day, thank you. I've had a good Christmas and a good New Year, so yeah, I'm trying to recover at the moment. Back to the gym, it's been dreamy, but I'm trying to be dry January.
Successful so far, or?
No, I fell off the first hurdle. I couldn't help it, I had an Italian and a glass of wine, so I'm going to try and stick to, dry January is not possible, so I'm going to stick to one drink a weekend and that's it, yeah.
Fair enough, good luck. Alright, so we'll go on to talk about the FA Cup later in the show, but to start with, I know Nick's got a few questions he'd like to ask about your career and that.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, I've got a few questions about sort of clubs you were at, etc. I'll start off back in the when you first sort of burst onto the scene. You made your first breakthrough at Blackpool. What was it like coming through there?
You know what, it was quite exciting. I was still at school when I got told I got an apprenticeship while I was still in school, so which probably wasn't a good thing because I completely just took my GCSEs off. You know, when I was going to be a footballer at Blackpool, which is probably not a great thing, but growing up in Blackpool, I was there for 3 years. It was quite fun, you know what I mean? There was lads from all over the country. YTS went back in the day. Being a YTS, he was a proper YTS.
I saw when you went to Bury and had, you made 62 appearances for them. Is that when you sort of really settled down as a player and sort of really felt like, this is going to be, I've sort of arrived on the scene, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it was the best move. Obviously, when you're young, you know, you're just trying to establish, probably, I didn't go into my body at 18, 19, and got released from Blackpool at 19. But going back to my, Bury's my hometown. Going back to my hometown club and Andy Priest being in charge, he's a former Blackpool player and he sort of really believed in me and he gave me a chance. And I think being back at home and living at home again, everything seemed to click into place really well. And you know, I've been a Bury supporter all my life, so it was one of my ambitions to actually play for Bury. And they really was a big stepping stone for me to go into bigger and better things.
Yeah, you say that about players playing in their sort of hometown club, and it can be like that. I mean, because I remember trying to think of just a local one. I remember Crawley, a local club to mine, Crawley. They once signed Richard Brodie from York, and obviously Richard Brodie for $300,000. And obviously there was massive things expected of him in the conference, but he just couldn't settle down himself and just needed to go home. And it's obviously football can work like that, and it's all down. Again, it proving that footballers are human beings. Obviously, you want to be where you're sort of brought up and everything, and homesick does apply to footballers as well.
Oh yeah, you definitely can.
I also saw
it helped me to be honest, because some players, for example, you know, prefer going away. You know what I mean? Sometimes it can enhance another player. You know, not being at home. You know, not being around your friends and stuff. Mm. You know, getting away from some of the old friends and stuff. You know, and just concentrate on the football. But you know, didn't do me any harm, you know, being brought up, you know, I really...
After Bury, I saw you went to Wigan, and that's where you made 95 appearances there, and obviously, I think that was also during when Wigan sort of were bursting up leagues, up leagues. What was that, what was it like there? I mean how do you think Wigan could go all the way from, like, the lower leagues up to the Premier League when you were there?
We were putting massive investment. Dave Whelan had just taken over a few years before, and I think we were in League One at the time, and you know, they were spending big money. I think me and Nate Nelson signed the same day. You know, I think we bought Nate Nelson for £3 million or something, which was two million, which is a ridiculous amount of money for a League One team. And Dave Whelan was desperate, to get all the way, and he had Paul Hewland. You know, that was arguably the best time of my career, you know what I mean? Being at a club like that, You know, we had all the backing, but we had a great set of lads, you know what I mean, to be honest. The team atmosphere and the dressing room was the best we've ever experienced, and I think a lot of the players who played at that era, who played for that team, will say the same thing. You know, it was fantastic. Yeah.
So would you say that was your sort of best, your best moments of your career at Wigan?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we won two promotions, you know, and we ended up getting promoted to the Premier League. So, yeah, in such a short space of time as well, I think we had two promotions in 3 years, and such a little club, you know, to all the way. And yeah, it was fantastic. We were very rarely getting beat. So as a player, you know, I look back on, you know, with massive fond memories at that time. Yeah.
And sort of after Wigan, I think you went to a few clubs, and sort of, you think you had about eight loans, I could be wrong on the number, but eight loan spells between sort of 2005 and 2009. So, were you sort of happy to be keeping that loan just to get gain time, or were you getting a bit disheartened by keeping getting thrown out? I think you'd like to sort of settle down with someone, or were you just say, well, great, we'll just be playing?
Yeah, I think it's been, I don't know if it's been, highlighted that I did have some issues when I did leave Wigan. I went to sign for Norwich. I sort of instantly regretted the decision. Nothing to do with Norwich, they're a fantastic club. I just couldn't agree a new contract with Wigan. And I regretted it, and I got homesick very, very quickly at Norwich. And, you know, instead of talking to someone about it, you know, I became quite angry and quite frustrated. And it resulted in me moving on to Preston. And the problems kind of followed me around. You know, I've been quite open about this, you know, and from there on, you know, I suffered quite a bit, you know, coping with being a footballer for the next few years, and I couldn't ever really settle. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, mate. And, yeah, we'll, one club that you all know that is actually the club I support, Brighton, under, you were brought to the club by Mickey Adams. What was that like being there? I know, obviously, it was a very, very tough sort of going into that situation where wins were just sort of desperate because they're in a very bad position. Close to dropping out of the league. What were sort of your memories there? I know, obviously, when only there for about half a season, but
it was a good, it's a good little club. It's much better now, obviously. I think we are how big a club it was, because I think we will be worse than, like, you know, the running track where the running track was around.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, with Dean Stadium. Yeah,
I don't think that helped. You know, being a player, it's not the best atmosphere there, was it? You know, it's it's not a football ground at all, and as a team, that didn't help us at all, I don't think. But it's great to see how they've kicked on now, you know what I mean? It's unbelievable how big a club they are now. I didn't realise the fan base is so big. But yeah, they were going through a tricky stage, and I don't think they had anything like the money they had invested in now. You know, the club's sort of struggling. Yeah, and I think it's just great that they're all kicked on now, and yeah, I think it's just fantastic where Brighton are right now, you know, and you know, I'm proud that I played down there. You know, it's a great place to live. I tell people all the time, you know, I spent 6 months in Brighton, and it's a fantastic place to live. A bit too far down south for me to stay there long term, but you know, it's one of my favourite places.
The club did obviously go on and survive. End of your career was at Salford City. What was it like playing there? Obviously, I know that I'm very well documented on the Depot, but what was it sort of like there, knowing that you had like Gary Neville, Paul Scholes, etc., running the scenes there?
Yeah, I didn't really have any intention of carrying on playing, to be honest. But when they came in, and you know, when I thought the Salford the United players were going to be involved, I thought it was quite exciting. And they actually do run it in a really professional way. You know, obviously they're quite low down in the leagues, but it was good, you know, because, like, for example, Phil Neville would come in and take training most times. Paul Scholes would come in and join in. You know, kids would come in and play training. So it was fantastic. You know what I mean? I'd played at a high level, so it didn't bother me that much. But for some of them non-league lads, it was fantastic. And like I said, they did really start to run that club in a more professional way. And they are very lucky there, you know, the Salford lads, that them lads at United are there, you know what I mean? Because they want to do things right, and I want to see big things. But it was good. You know, we got promoted in this season, the only season I was there, and I really enjoyed it. It was a good way to end my career. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And was there a lot of pressure on yourself there? Because I know you're one of the big names.
I didn't really feel it, to be honest.
Played it.
The games were interesting because basically, you know, all five United players there'd be at least three of them coming to every game, home and away. So the games were actually quite tough because, if you can imagine, being away at Ratcliffe Borough and kicking and Paul Scholes on the sidelines, the opposition, honestly, they'd run around like madmen, you know, trying to impress the United players, because you would do, because Scholes and Giggs are sat in the stand. So every game was a tough game for us, and I think the lads itself did really well to get promoted, and they got promoted the season after. So I think there was a lot of pressure for some of them lads, you know what I mean, to perform. But like I said, it's I really enjoyed my time there, but it was good.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I was gonna ask you, mate. So Anthony, move on to Anthony.
Yeah, it comes moves on quite nicely actually. I want to ask because I saw that you work at DRN Sports with a Gareth Seddon, who anyone who's watched the Class of 92 documentary will know who he is.
Yeah.
I just wondered if you could tell us a bit about DRN Sports and what it is.
Yeah, it's basically just a football agency. Gareth got involved a little bit before me. He approached me in the summer. We've been for the best friends since we were 16, so a long time, over 20 years we've known each other. And he asked me to get involved, and basically we're trying to recruit and look after the careers of hopefully some of the young kids out there and stuff, you know, becoming players. We're a new company, and fingers crossed, we'll have to see if some of our players can actually make the grade and go on and do well. Yeah, that's my involvement in football at the moment is, yeah, trying to look after the next crop of young players.
So you're like,
hopefully, yeah.
Sorry, you're like an agent then for
young... Yes, I will. I am. It's just basically because I feel like I know a lot about the game. I've had some pretty bad agents, and I've had some average ones as well. So hopefully, I can mentor and teach players, you know, and parents more than anything. You know, the rights and wrongs and the way to do things, and hopefully I can do a better job than some of the people out there. Yeah.
Obviously, knowing the game and playing in it, you must be well placed.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
I saw you do quite a bit of charity work as well, especially with Mind. Is that something which means something to you personally?
Yeah, I think I told you before. I've never kept it a secret about, you know, some of the issues that I had while I was playing, you know, involved in depression and stuff while I was playing. And since I retired from football, I work as a mentor and a counsellor as well. Well, I've had a life coach. So I help other people who suffer from depression and anxiety and stress. I do that, and actually have a group of actors who go around the country performing a play in various companies about depression and stuff. So it plays a big part in my life, because I want to help to rid people of the stigma of, you know, mental illness a little bit. So yeah, it's something that's I'm working on all the time.
That sounds fantastic. Can I just, do you think many players within the game suffer from a mental illness, you know, like say in the Football League for instance?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a hard thing to know whether it's a
when we say the word mental illness, it's kind of a strong word, isn't it? But I think there will be certain players at times will be suffering from the stresses of ball. You know, people assume that having to be stressed of being a footballer, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, there's lots of people who will suffer from depression and different forms of depression, you know, stress and, you know, looking after their families, you know, when's the next contract coming? And, you know, I'm sure there's people out there who might be alcoholics or whatever, you know, other forms of depression. I'm sure there's lots of footballers out there suffering. I think we've seen it lately, you know, the last couple of years, it's coming to the forefront a little bit more, where people are talking about it, and it's going to increase that.
Yeah. Okay, there's just one other thing. I saw that you're a level 4 referee. I guess that from what I understand, that means you can assist in Northern and Southern Premier League games.
Yes, semi-professional games, yes.
Yeah, is that something you're looking to develop and go into? Is advancing a refereeing career? Or?
It's I'm actually in my fifth season now doing it, so it's not something I've done on a whim. And the aim is, or was, you know, to try and get to the top, and because there's no Premier, there's no ex-players, is there, who are referees at the moment. The PFA have been backing me. and a few others. At the moment, I'm at a crossroads a bit at the moment. I'm going to have to make a decision soon if to carry on with it, because it is kind of very slow burner, you know what I mean? It's my fifth year now, and yeah, there's a lot of politics behind it, which I won't bore you with at the moment. It's been very frustrating recently.
Yeah. Can I just ask as well, I don't know if you can answer, what do you think of the standard, do you think the standard of Football League refereeing is good? Because I know you've seen obviously some of the Premier League, some of the red cards and stuff, we've had a lot of criticism of referees. Do you think that refereeing standard overall is as good as it could be without, you know, adding technology and the like?
I think technology hasn't helped referees, to be honest, in terms of, because we have so many cameras at games, and Sky and BT, we have a million cameras, so every time they do something wrong,
yeah,
everybody gets to see it, you know what I mean? So 20 years ago, referees were still making these mistakes now, you know what I mean? But now, we weren't talking about it as much, but now everybody can have an opinion on the referee because they can see your replays, you know, Gary Neville can comment straight away, instantly, you know, he got it wrong and stuff, so that's really not helping. But I don't know, there are some strange decisions that have been made, but, you know, I think that's the beauty of the game a little bit, you know what I mean? You know, the referee doesn't get all the decisions right sometimes, and, you know, you want it to be more consistent, but it's hard, you know, some of the players are so fast now, and, you know what I mean, and, you know, yeah, I know what you mean, but yeah, I think they're doing a good job, to be honest.
No,
one or two who maybe shouldn't be where they are, and that's up to the people in charge to sort out, but I think the majority of them are doing a good job.
I completely agree with you. I think, you know, we can analyse all the decisions a referee makes and watch them in slow motion and that, but like there's decisions you watch in real time and you think straight away that's a penalty or not a penalty or whatever, and then after five replays you're then convinced of the other way. I think it was summed up quite well in the Man City West Ham game on BBC. There was all the pundits at half time, and Alan Shearer pointed out they were all disagreeing after all the replays, so how the hell can we criticise the referee for getting a wrong decision?
Yeah. I think it's one of the fun things about football a little bit, you know, that the referee, and you know, people, you're not going to get all the decisions right. It's something to debate after the game and stuff, you know what I mean? But basically, if you ask average Joe on the street, average football fan, how many referees do they know, actual names, I bet they can't name more than four or five. So they're not that bond, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, these guys are actually there week in, week out. We see their faces all the time. But can you name five referees, six referees? It's a struggle, you know, in the Premier League. So yeah, he'll complain about some stuff, but actually, he doesn't stick to his mind that much.
No. No.
Yeah.
I think Mike Dean gets all the attention at the moment. But,
yeah,
right.
Kevin
Friend.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to name six, Dick?
Okay, Mike Dean, Kevin Friend, Mike Dean, Kevin Friend, Mark Clattenburg.
Phil Dow, Craig Pawson.
Craig Pawson, he's crap. yeah, all the ones I'm thinking of, those ones who have just retired now. Trevor Kettle, does he still do it? It was easier when I used to go to Brighton games at Whiffing, so I used to always buy a programme then, and he used to always have the refs on the back, but now I don't really buy them anymore. So. No, I think you've got me.
That's what I mean, and these guys actually control the whole game. You can't have the game without them,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And actually, like I said, you know, you're involved in football a lot more than probably some of the average Joes out there with a football fan. And you can't, you can go debate him and you'll talk about him all the time, but you forgot about it 2 days later. You can't remember the bloody names. You know what I mean? So it can't be that important, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, loads of sides to get through. I'll start with the lowest ranked side, Stourbridge, seventh tier, who got knocked out by Wickham Wanderers. They lost 2-1 with Akinfenwa scoring a late winner. Guess Stourbridge proud of getting so far, but out of the cup.
They've done fantastic, haven't they? It's money in the pot, to be honest, isn't it? You know, that little run will probably pay their wages for this year and next year. Mm-hmm. So it's good that they've got so far and stuff. And it's just a shame there's not more teams like that. I've got a few. I think it seems like this year there's not as many as there usually actually is. Yeah.
I thought credit to Stabber as well, because they're not one of these non-league teams like, I don't know, like we've seen in recent years, like Eastleigh, Whitehawk. They haven't got money to burn. They're a proper and traditional non-league club. So full credit to them for getting this far. And I'd say they really gave Wickham a good game, and then they were done by just a fantastic header from a good experience.
Yeah.
Football league striker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You should be proud of themselves, definitely.
There was a couple of... I'll come on to the other non-league sides in a minute, but there was a couple of Premier League sides getting knocked out by Championship opposition. Start with Wolves. They beat Stoke 2-0, and it was a fantastic opening goal, wasn't it? And a great celebration as well to go with it.
Yeah, I wasn't too surprised about that result, actually, you know. Wolves are a decent side, you know, on the day and stuff. So when a Championship team beats lower mid-table Premier League teams, you know what I mean? I wasn't going, I can't believe that's just happened. You know what I mean? I think from what I heard, Wolves played pretty well and deserved a win anyway. So it didn't surprise me that much, you know. And maybe was it Everton the other one as well?
Everton lost to Leicester 2-1.
Oh, that was, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought that was another Championship team. But no, yeah. No, yeah, no big surprise, to be honest, with Wolves being stoked for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should have put it on my coupon, to be honest.
Full credit to Paul Lambert as well, because Wolves, it's not really going too well in the Championship this season for them. So I think full credit to Paul Lambert, and it's not been going well in the Championship, but if they get a nice cup run, it should obviously keep the supporters pretty happy and give them confidence for going into next season, because I think the players are a bit too far out of their way. And it's also for the player, they've got a lot of players who are new to the division as well, like Helder Costa, who scored the great goal, and they can all sort of have a good season in the Championship. I think it could be a good team to look out for next season, Wolves.
Yeah.
I think it was probably a nice distraction, to be honest, you know, for them. Obviously, the league format has been going well, so there's no pressure. They weren't expected to go to Stoke and get results. And I think what we saw is that, you know, the players that they have got good players there, they actually turned up for once, you know what I mean? And we could see actually how good some of the Wolves players actually can be. So, looking for next season, you know, I expect them to be up there. But like I said, I'm not surprised they got the result. But yeah, I think the next season, they'll be there and thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. Derby County went to West Brom and beat them 2-1. A terrific game. Darren Bent and Tom Ince scoring two cracking goals second half. And West Brom are a side in good form as well in the Premier League in the top half. And it's been great since Steve McLaren's come back to Derby.
Yeah, and another one, you know, Derby have got quality all over the pitch. They've been there and thereabouts again, you know, a huge club. They keep missing out, you know, on the promotion. You name them two names, Marcus Bent and Tom Ince, you know, they've been in the Premier League before themselves. West Brom, you know, for the price of results in the Premier League, and they've had a great run. I think they probably just play eye off the ball a little bit. And Derby were a good team, you know, they passed the ball around, and I think they probably just took full advantage, you know what I mean, and went in there with no fear. I can't imagine they were scared of West Brom at all, and from what I heard about there, you know, they deserve to win the game as well.
Okay, so I'll be pretty angry if I was a West Brom fan. I mean, I know it's all going really, really well in the league, but they're in a great position in the league, so they're not going to be going down, and of all due respect, they're not going to get a Champions League spot. So why not go for an FA Cup run? You've got a chance to win a massive, massive trophy. So I don't really know why they made a lot of changes. And it's not a pair of mugs in like a League 2 team you can probably get away with it. They're playing a very strong Championship team in Derby, and they've proven that you do that. It's pretty idiotic, and obviously the upset's just waiting to happen, really. And not taking anything away from McLaren's, and it's a great win. But if anything, West Brom probably needed the cup run more than Derby.
Mm-hmm.
It depends how you look at it, to be honest. I think a lot of teams have done it. A lot of Premier League teams have been criticised for playing weekend teams, haven't they, this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing it because they don't get the winter break? You know, for example, we've been complaining for a long time about they need a winter break. Are they using this third round of the FA Cup as a little bit of a winter break? Like, we're going to rest all our players because they've had a busy period over winter, playing so many games over the Christmas period. It seems that's what they're doing it now. You know, this FA Cup at the beginning stages, they're like, right, this is where we're going to rest our players. It's not right, I don't believe it's right, but you can see where they're coming from. You know what I mean? You know, the Premier League is always a priority. And some of them players probably do need a rest. and this is the only way they could get a rest in, probably.
There's a lot of clubs doing it though. I mean, I was going to come on to Bournemouth as well. They made 11 changes to their side, and they go to Millwall and lose 3-0. A lot of Premier League sides making all these changes and losing games. Is the magic of the FA Cup gone because of this?
Well, I don't get why Bournemouth did it as well. Bournemouth are in a fantastic league position again, like this, Rob. They're not going to be going down. They've got a great team to go on a cup run and potentially win the whole thing. I don't know why they had to make all these changes. They didn't need to. And again, you're going to a really tough place in the day. It's never going to be easy going there, and they're able to completely turn them over. And I think it baffles the mind really. Well, Bournemouth would make a good change. I know you're going back to the point, obviously, of resting the players and everything. But, I mean, that's where I think, when the magic of the cup does go, when you've got teams who rest the players. I mean, if you're going for someone like your big clubs like United and everyone, you can understand when they rest the players because they've got things to worry about. But also, above all, I think whatever team, the Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea put out,
I completely understand. You know, the shine has been taken off the FA Cup the last few years, and it is sad to see, kind of thing. Yeah, and it is sad to see that, you know, it is the it's not the same as it was. The Premier League is completely taking over. I think what's the money between finishing 8th and 12th? I think about £8 million or something. So even that's important. Even that's probably more than the FA Cup, you know, the money you get for that. You know, each time you finish in a certain position, you know what I mean? And I don't know, you don't get much opportunity to win a trophy in your career, you know, some of these senior players and stuff. And I think that's gone out the window a little bit. You know, the one, the likes of the Bournemouth and stuff like that. It's all about staying in survival. It's all about staying in the Premier League where all the money is.
It's not
more than winning trophies.
It's not just the Premier League, though. I mean, Cardiff lost to Fulham. They lost 2-1. I know Neil Warnock jokingly said that he struggled to get out of bed, and he got asked about the attendance, and he responded with, "Oh, it was 1,000 more than I expected, and the attendance is 5,200. It's really sad. It's not just, you know, Premier League clubs, which you can understand it to an extent with the money. It's Football League as well, with Cardiff being.
I think the whole FA Cup has to be revamped in a more modern.
I was going to say, it kind of surprised me because they're not in a position kind of again going up or anything. And again, they could use this as a welcome distraction. But no, it's those comments by Warnock, like, you don't really want to hear. But again, you can only sort of nod your head really to them.
Well,
the fans didn't turn up either. Are the fans on board? Are the fans around the country? We're not getting full houses anyway, you know, for the FA Cup games, which is sad to see. Yeah, that's what I mean. I said before, I think the FA Cup really needs a massive modernisation revamp. You know, we want it to keep the whole tradition thing, but somehow the FA have to come up with a solution to, like, modernise this cup and make it more appealing to everybody again. Because the fans, they're not turning up either.
Well, I know. Yeah, I've got some statistics of fans which I'll come on to. But
I mean,
to say about modernising the cup, I mean, if you compare it to other European cup competitions, you know, the equivalent in Spain, I know, is not respected at all. It's even worse. And I know they have a rule in Spain where you can only play a team two divisions below. So, say a Premier League team would either play a Championship or League One, etc. Which I'm sure neither of you would agree with being introduced to the FA Cup. But
no.
I don't know what the solution is. I do agree with you that it has to be modernised somehow. I just don't know what the answer is.
I'm sure. I have no idea what the answer is, but I'd have to think long and hard about that. But something needs to happen. The Champions League did it. You know, they changed it from the European Cup. Was it the European Cup to the Champions League? And it's completely, you know, revamped it completely. The FA Cup needs something. It needs some sort of, like I said, I don't know why clubs don't, for example, at Liverpool or United, why aren't tickets like £10 or, you know what I mean, why is it full price to get in? Then we'd have full stadiums for FA Cup games along the scale, along every division. I don't know. Something needs to be done because it isn't as appealing. It's not a showcase as it was. It used to be, you know, at the end of the season.
Yeah. I've got a couple of, I saw the Blackpool game was absolutely terrible. I didn't get an official number for that, but like Hull versus Swansea, 6,600 fans, and QPRB Blackburn 7,500 is obviously not great. Terrible.
Yeah.
I want to look at it the other way. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, we're talking Hull. That's 6,000 at Hull, did you say?
Yes, 6,700.
That's what, 22, what is it like, 18,000 or 20,000 less than they normally get for a Premier League game or something?
Yeah.
I think Hull, to be fair to them, there was a protest going on, I think, against their own league owners.
Right, well, yeah.
I think that it was part to do with that. But even so, I went to Hull last year in the FA Cup third round, and the ground was dead. They didn't sell any upper tier tickets or anything. And again, it seems similar to them this year. I mean, Hull, you're bottom of the Premier League. You don't really want the FA Cup run, and similar to Swansea.
Yeah. It's all about the Premier League for them boys. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to get the official statistics because a lot of clubs count season ticket holders as having attended the game, even though they're not there. It looks a lot emptier. But, I mean, I want to look at it the other way as well. There were some really good stories with attendances. I mean, 9,000 Plymouth fans went to Liverpool. You got 5,000 Lincoln fans going to Ipswich and, you know, 6,000 Derby fans at West Brom. You know, there were some good stories, especially with the away attendances, away fans, because they get a bigger allocation, of course, as part of it.
Always going to get that.
Yeah, probably Plymouth going to Liverpool. They're not going to probably have that game for a good while unless they can manage to get up all the leagues. So it's their cup final at the end of the day. What they want to be in the third round for. You want your big team away. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Same for Lincoln. It's their cup final where a good championship club in Ipswich. So I think that doesn't surprise. Derby again. It's a local game against West Brom. So I think those ones don't really surprise me, but yeah, the home ones, I think they need to. I think the clubs need to sort of maybe think. I got a season ticket up at Brighton. I didn't even go to the game on Saturday because I don't want to pay any more money on top of my season ticket to see Milton Keynes Dons. Really, if it was against the Premier League, I would have been up for it, but I don't really want to see our backup team play against Milton Keynes.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll go back onto the football. I mentioned it in passing, obviously a fantastic result for Plymouth getting a 0-0 draw with Liverpool at Anfield, and they'll have the replay back at Plymouth. I'm sure their fans will be really up for that.
Yeah, I was on loan at Plymouth actually, and home park, they'll actually have it rocking. I think Tony Cooley took me there. I was there for about 3 months, and it's a good little club, honestly, so it'll be a full house there. I expect Liverpool to get the results, to be honest, comfortably. But it'll be good. It'll be good for the fans. And like I said, it's hopefully it'll be on TV as well. So hopefully that'll make some money for Plymouth.
Well, they're saying the replay will be worth needed. Replay will be worth £1 million to Plymouth. So a lot of money. Youngest ever side for Liverpool, which shows how much it means to them.
This is where the cup sort of, that it is quite enjoyable. Again, regardless of whatever team Liverpool put out, it's still Liverpool Football Club. You still expect to beat a League Two club comfortably. And they didn't. Plymouth defended absolutely outstanding. I thought Sonny Bradley at centre back was absolutely class of Plymouth on Saturday. And Derek came out superbly well, and they all stuck by the game plan. I thought the Plymouth supporters were absolutely outstanding. 9,000 of them in full voice behind the goal. And I thought this is where.
Hello.
I keep losing some of you guys.
I think the replay between Plymouth and Liverpool on BBC, that's what the cup's all about, I think.
Go on to Sam Allardyce making a return to Bolton. It was 0-0 draw, and he described it as a typical cup tie. Another replay of Bolton v Palace back in London this time.
I think it's a game that he doesn't want, to be honest. If Sam was completely honest, it's the last thing he needs. It's have you play against anybody, never mind Bolton. Palace look like in trouble in the Premier League, desperate for results, and I've seen Palace play in a weakened team, to be honest, again, because obviously they're going to have to prioritise for the Premier League. If they can stay up, I'm not too sure. I think there's weaker teams around them, the likes of Hull, be Swansea and maybe Sunderland, but it's going to be tight for them. It's definitely a game that Sam didn't want to replay for. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, his priority is the league, as we've sort of said before. Chelsea beat Peterborough 4-1, but I think the big story from that game, not the result, but John Terry getting a red card on his return. Do you think he's sort of done at Chelsea now? Do you think he should? You'd have thought he'd retire at the end of the season.
I think John Terry's been fantastic. I think it is the right time for him to leave Chelsea at the end of the season. He doesn't need to be a bit part player. He doesn't need to play four to ten appearances for Chelsea. He's playing cups. He's better than that. You know what I mean? And he's not going to get any better than he was. His performance is only going to decrease, and I think he needs to leave now and leave the legend that he actually is from Chelsea. We'll see. Yeah. That means retiring altogether or going to China, where most people seem to be going. Most Chelsea players seem to be going. Yeah. So be it. I can't see him playing for another Premier League team. And I think the mistake he made against on is it Sunday?
Sunday.
He wouldn't have made that mistake a few years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He would have been caught in that position. So I think it is time. I think he's a very proud man, and he wants to carry on. But I think it's time he moved on and did something different. Yeah.
Well, I know they've recalled Nathan Ake from Bournemouth as well at Chelsea, which is another defender between John Terry and a starting position, you'd have thought as well. He's been fantastic the first half of the season.
Yeah, Nathan Ake's been brilliant. I think, going back to Chelsea, I mean, I think Chelsea against Bradford, that was a few years ago, that was the real upset of the other club. And I don't think since then Chelsea have almost sort of, every year they seem to put out a bit more stronger teams, so they just don't want to have that embarrassment again.
Yeah,
and Peterborough went bad that day. Chelsea just had the complete upper class on them.
Yeah, just want to ask as well. Sorry about John Terry. I remember Gary Neville at United. I remember him retiring midway through a season after a game where he was awful. He got subbed off at half time after nearly giving the penalty away, and he just had the worst half of football, and he just retired after that. He didn't play again for United. Do you think this is almost a similar thing for John Terry? Rather than waiting for the end of the season, he should just say, "Now I'm not good enough. I'm going. That's it."
I can't see John Terry doing that, to be honest. Because he might need it. I don't think that's the right thing to do. You know, they give him a contract at the end of the season. He's got a squad number there, mm-hmm. and he is a club captain. So I don't think it would be right just to say, "I'm going to call it a day." You know, because they might need him and stuff. So. And they could be very successful this season as well. You know, he could end up in a few appearances and actually get another Premier League Champions League medal. So I can't see that happening. I think he needs to do it right and end it at the end of the season, have the massive send off that he actually deserves. I think that's what he's going to happen, and that's what he'll do.
Okay. We'll move on. I want to mention Blackpool. They drew 0-0 with Barnsley. I thought it was a very impressive performance from your old club, Blackpool. I thought they played really well and deserve a replay, despite the fans not being out for the game. I thought the side were very good, and against a decent Barnsley side, obviously, in the Championship.
Yeah, from all accounts, they did pretty well. I think we all know about the problems they've got off the field and stuff, and they don't look like they're being resolved anytime soon. So fair play to the manager and the players there. You know, they are still stringing some results along the way, and they're doing all right in the league and stuff. You know, hopefully they can go to Barnsley and maybe get results. But I think the bigger picture is that club needs to get back the way where it should be, kind of thing. And I don't know what needs to happen there, but it's sad to see. But like I said, fair play to the players. You know, for digging in and getting a good result.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Rooney finally matched Bobby Charlton's record, 249 goals, with scoring with a knee, 4-0 win for United. It's kind of one of those games. It's kind of disappointing it was on TV, because despite the big moment, it was all over in about 15 minutes.
The thing with Wayne Rooney at the moment and the public or the papers, I don't think this kid's getting the recognition he actually deserves, you know, from what he's achieved. Yeah. We all know he's not the same player he was, but did you expect him to be? you know, he's been playing what since he was 16, in the Premier League since then. Yeah. And you know, he's still playing at a massive high level, you know what I mean? He's still playing for Man United, he's still playing for his country. But what he's achieved in the game is phenomenal, you know what I mean? He's the all-time goal scorer for England. He's going to be the all-time goal scorer for Man United, arguably the greatest team in the world, or one of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he scores his goal. And did the papers make a big fuss of it? Did anybody make a big fuss of it? No, not really. I think he deserves
it. No, they only made a fuss about Evans not taking it, which he wanted in the change, what she wanted after the game anyway.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. I saw Rooney tweet about anger, and I completely understand. He's broken a major record, and people just, it says the papers just don't want to be happy for him. It's just really, it's a bit upsetting, really. And all they want to do is just talk about an incident which isn't even an incident.
What, the wine? Yes, that's the one.
Well, yeah, it is sad. I think.
Yeah.
Like I said, he took over what George Best, Bobby Charlton, great players, great United players, and surpassed them all in goal scoring. You know what I mean? And like you said, we don't seem to want to give him the recognition he actually deserves, which, you know, like I said, is sad.
Conference side, Barrow lost 2-0 at home to Rochdale. The manager said he's very proud of what they've achieved, but Ian Henderson's double meant that they don't go further than the third round this year.
I think the non-league club to get to the third round of the FA Cup is a fantastic achievement. Obviously, it's a harsh draw for them, isn't it? A team like Rochdale probably went there, meant business. They wouldn't have mucked around with playing a weakened team. They'd have gone there to like even a cup final themselves, really, because they're not exactly a massive team. They want to get United away or something in the next round. So went there. Poor Barrow, they've gone out at home to them in the third round where they could have had a nice big club away, but it is what it is. But yeah, great achievement for them to get to the third round. But full credit to Keith Hill. I mean, they could have easily froze on the day and rolled over for Barrow, but they didn't. They got there, so they stuck in. Ian Henderson, he's a proven striker, obviously, in the Football League. And when you've got players like that on the pitch, they show up there and it's all systems go, really, for them.
Just want to echo the non-league sentiments for Eastleigh, reached the third round, but lost 5-1 to Brentford. Martin Allen said it was a great day despite the defeat.
Yeah, I think any non-league team that gets to the third round, it's a massive achievement, you know what I mean? Getting to the first round is usually tough. But getting to the third, once again, you know, the money that's going to be pumped into that club now from getting to the third round, you know, it's going to be well needed, you know, these non-league clubs. You know, it's all about the money. They need the money just to survive most of the time. So, you know, welcome to them. It was a big ask, you know, to get a result. And Martin Allen, fair play to him. He must have got his players up, because it can be hard going to places like Eastleigh and other places like that, you know, and getting your players motivated. You know, so fair play to him. He obviously got motivated in the right way, and, you know, and they did the job they were expected to do.
And just to finish as well, there was two non-league sides who forced Football League opposition at Lincoln City drawing 2-0 with Ipswich to get a replay, and also Sutton United 0-0 draw with Wimbledon, and that is another replay. So, you know, we've got a few good replays to look forward to, and obviously two, it'd be nice if we can get two more non-league sides into the fourth round.
I don't think Mick McCarthy will be looking forward to that trip to Lincoln. Lincoln doing extremely well in the conference, and so they really gave Ipswich a scare twice. They went to the league twice and they nearly hung on, but obviously they've got a player in Tom Lawrence who's in great form. When you're sort of going through that run on top of Tom Lawrence, anything you hit seems to hit the back of the net. So, no, I don't think Ipswich should look forward to going there on a cold Tuesday night. I think Lincoln will be pumped up for it, and we could easily see an upset there, and that's another one of what the FA Cup will be all about, really, I think. And similar to Sutton London, so like, I don't know how this one wasn't on the TV. The local derby where it all began for Wimbledon. And say Sutton were really unlucky not to win. Say that chance by Matt Tubbs, 9 times out of 10, that hits the back of the net easily. But no, they've got a replay to look forward to. But again, that would be a very similar type of fare, I reckon, at Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm. I just want to finish by mentioning the draw. A few of the standout ties for me: Derby go to Leicester, visit Leicester. United at home to Wigan's probably a big tie with Warren Joyce, obviously taking over at Wigan, the former United under-21 manager. For me, you've got Middlesbrough v Accrington as well. And then the winner of the replay, Plymouth or Liverpool, will play Wolves in the next round. There, for me, the biggest ties. You got any thoughts on the fourth round, Nick?
Yeah, I think
did
you say Chelsea-Brentford as well?
Yeah, that is a tie. I'm not, I didn't say it, but yeah, that is one of the ties.
Oh, yeah, another one. Yeah, no, it's another West Country, a bit of a West London derby there. That'll be one that Brentford will go there, a bit of confidence. I think that could be a good one. But yeah, I think overall it's not a very interesting FA Cup draw. I think Derby Leicester's probably the one that stands out the most, local derby. Champions of England going to, and I think you've got a chance of an upset there. But then, yeah, it depends really on outcomes. Lincoln, they've got a chance to beat Ipswich, they'll be home to Brighton, so potential chance of another upset there. And yeah, Arsenal, they'll have a tough away game, whoever they go to, Southampton or Norwich. So I think that'll be a good one. Gareth Ainsworth, obviously, will be delighted for Tottenham away. Get his Wickham flags on a good FA Cup there. I think they're the ones that stand up for me.
Have you got any thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I think I have to actually agree. With the Derby Leicester game, that's the one that kind of stands out for me a little bit. I think Derby are a very good team. Leicester aren't firing this season like they were last season. So, like I said, we're only a few miles away from each other.
Yeah.
I think that hopefully that might be a game on TV, I'm not sure, but I think that'll be the standout time, yeah, and a really, fiery one, and both sets of fans are looking forward to that.
Yeah, I hope it should be on TV, I'd have thought, but yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. So I think we've reached the end of the show. We've kind of run out of time. I just want to apologise because there's quite a lot of Football League stories we're not covering. Rob Page being sacked as Northampton boss, crew have sacked Steve Davis as well. There's been a lot of Football League stories and I don't want to cover them in a short space of time. So next week we'll be back with the 72 show and we'll make sure we cover as many stories as we can. So yeah, sorry about that. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football and check out our website as well. You can follow Jason Jarrett on Twitter. It's at JasonJarrett01. I'll put all the details in the description. It's good night for me and good night for my guests, Nick Davey and Jason Jarrett. Good night.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.